For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn, and we have a new podcast. You can find our show exclusively on the Podcast One app on podcastonesports.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Hey, man, before we get started with CarCast, let me tell you about Amazon Automotive. Shop auto parts, tools, accessories quickly and easily. Do it from your phone. Do it from your computer. Do it from your tablet. Plus, free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. Massive selections of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, even tires. This I did not know. I knew all this other stuff, like they have top brands like K&N and Bilstein, chemical guys, Bosch, and more. But I didn't know tires. Smart, Amazon. So smart. Tired of looking up part numbers, reading catalogs? With Amazon, all you need is the year, make, and model, and you're off and running. Use customer Q&A and product reviews to research and buy the right part the first time. So go to Amazon.com/autodeals. That's Amazon.com/autodeals. Start your shopping today. Amazon Automotive. All right, let's get going with the show. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
And this show is this one?
This one's CarCast.
CarCast, yeah. I got you.
why here?
Got a lot of pods under my under my hat here. Ron Capps coming in, his old friend. Nobody drives a funny car like Ron Capps. I mean, this guy's won everything. Second on all-time wins list among funny car drivers, 58 national event wins, 57 funny car, one Top Fuel.
Yeah, so he's 2016 funny car champion.
Yeah, he's good.
Ooh, I got something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I told you this. So I went over to Ray's shop, is Full Throttle Customs. I brought the BMW, the M3 over there.
Mm-hmm.
To just kind of find out what's going on with the tune. You know, it runs.
Get on the dyno.
And get it on the dyno, see where we're at with that thing. And, you know, and it's running a little rich. It has to lean it out a little bit. But those M3s, they're like 333 horse at the crank. They put down about 280 at the tires stock.
Mm-hmm.
We put down 410
mm-hmm.
with the supercharged motor before we started getting into the tune. So it's a pretty nice 130 horsepower bump on that thing. The tires are
it's a fast
15 years old and rock hard.
It's a fast car.
It's fast. It boogies.
I was
It's no more check
time,
engine lights and
when the last
stuff,
time
it's
I
good.
I really got pulled over for sure would have been like exhibition of speed in that car.
That's a great ticket to get, by the way. Exhibition of speed.
Sounds
more like a trophy.
It'd be a feather in your cap, like an expensive feather in your cap. I took that thing down like Oxnard Boulevard or something, and I just opened it up, and I passed by a motorcycle cop that. Here's how the guy was positioned. He was just in the middle. He was in the very middle of, like, the boulevard, like Oxnard Boulevard. Like, it was a good stretch between two signals, and I was just going to open it up.
Yeah.
And it was between two parked cars, or probably about 4 or 5 feet from bumper, and he just backed his bike in. into that area. And the bike was, the bike is the length of the width of a car.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, things an SUV on one side, and he's just backed into this thing. And it's like undetectable. And I just haul an ass. And I went, I saw him right as I blew past him, but I was going like 80 miles an hour. And I it was the first time I actually just started pulling over. I just started getting off the side.
Yeah,
I just
but you're caught, whatever.
Yeah, I knew. I knew he was there for one reason, and I just exceeded the speed limit by like 40 miles an hour, and I started pull over, and he caught up to me on his bike, and he pulled me over, and he was just yelling at me through the window about what I was doing, you know. And
why does he have to be so angry about it? Like, I get it. I was speeding.
I know.
Pulled over.
I think it helps them write their ticket emotionally, but because they explain to you, like, you could have killed people and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I was sitting there, and he was, like, yelling at me. And then at a certain point, he went, where'd you get the hat? And I was like, huh? And I wear ball caps all the time
because
just have like sort of frizzy puby hair, and I don't want to put product in it and stuff. And if I don't put product in it, it's just kind of frizzy and weird. So I don't like walk around with a bunch of junk in it. So I'd put it, you know, if I'm going to be on TV or do some show or something, I put some stuff in it. But if I'm just walking around, I put a ball cap on it, you know? And I said, yeah, I don't know, because I get a lot of ball caps. People just drop off ball caps at the radio station and stuff like that. And I just pop them on, keep them in my car or whatever.
Yeah, some swag I like. I
look down, says LAPD on the front of it. It's like...
You had no idea it said that.
I knew there was like an vaguely, LAPD hat in my rotation somewhere, but I wasn't sure what this one said. And it's like, LAPD. And he just like goes, where'd you get that? And I was like, I do a little charity work.
Yeah, you know, nothing to brag about.
Nothing to brag about. And he was like, what kind of charity work? And I was like, I'll host a golf tournament or so. You know, I was trying to remember frantically when the cop showed up at the radio station and gave me this hat, what it is they were trying to promote or talk that I certainly didn't contribute to.
Yeah. Now, you couldn't have said you played the golf in the tournament because... That's more of like, here's the results of the golf tour and who won and who played and all that. But if you said, you know,
he didn't have access to anything.
But you know, like, you hosted the event or you launched it or emceed the first 7 minutes or whatever. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm down.
That's what I said. I was helping out. You know, I actually
I was
did
parking
go,
cars.
Yeah, I did do a California Highway Patrol thing. But anyway, long story short. The guy just let me go because of the hat. And that's what always made me think, I just got to get a hat for every jurisdiction I drive through. You know, just take the one off the seat, put it on. Because if you're hauling ass to Bakersfield and you get pulled over and you're wearing a highway patrol or whatever, and you got that, you got your story right about the golf tournament and a little charity work, you will never get it. Never. Because that's the way cops can... Either yell, hey man, show, laugh, and let you go, or cops can get you in a headlock and wrestle you to the ground. Like, or both, or anything in between. Like, that's who they are. There's no set anything when they walk up to your car. It's not like, sorry man, I have to give you a ticket. I don't really want it. I know we went to high school together and you're my best friend, but what are you going to do? Like, I have to give you a ticket. No, it's like, I could give you no ticket or I could give you the maximum amount of everything. It all just kind of depends what kind of hat you're wearing and who your team is and how you're talking to me and all that. It's all to be determined.
So when he pulls you over and he's like, where'd you get the LAPD hat? And he looks in the back seat and he sees CHP, Phoenix PD, Seattle.
Yeah, I got one of those
racks. I tour around. I do a lot of... Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who had a firefighter for a brother, and so she got this sticker that you could put on the back of her rear windshield, and then she never got tickets or anything.
I think
there's
a little lax on that.
There's a little club.
There's a little of that. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Had a funny conversation with Kimmel over the holiday, or sorry, the Super Bowl party. He was heating up some wings. He made some smoke some wings, but he got into a car accident. He's okay. I do have a picture of that because it was funny. I um, I glanced at it online, and
oof,
he hit an Audi, right?
Yeah.
The thing that was so weird about it is today an Audi and a everything's kind of the same. But I'm also Mr. Anal, and I looked at it online, and it was like, oh, he hit an Audi. I then went to the bathroom when we were having a Super Bowl party, and I heard, or I was like in the bathroom, or I was somewhere, like I overheard Jimmy, and he said, someone said, like, what kind of car did you hit? And he said, BMW, like M5 or 5 Series or something. He probably has an X5.
Yeah, that was he has an X5.
That was it. And so I remember thinking, somebody said, like, what kind of car did you hit or something? And I think Jimmy said, probably started saying, I got a BMW X5 whatever. I flushed a toilet or something, didn't hear the end. But I was like, he didn't hit a BMW, he hit an Audi. Like, I saw it once.
You couldn't zip fast enough to run outside.
And it was bothering me the whole time. But then there's a part of me goes, well, I think he knows what kind of car he hit. He hit it. Like, he did the paperwork. But that explains it. So he's all right. Everyone's all right. And the thing that was funny is... if you'd like to know the difference between Natalia and Sonny, is I took him for a walk last week, and Natalia had heard that Uncle Jimmy got into an accident. She felt bad and this, that, and the other, and we're driving along. We're walking along, and she said, "Well, we're going to see Jimmy at the Super Bowl party," and I said, yeah. And she said, I'm going to ask him for tickets to the Oscars. And Sonny said, why don't you ask him how he feels after the accident?
Right? At least warm him up first.
That's exactly who those two people are. Right? What else do you need to know? That's it. That's who they are. All right.
That's his air horn car, too, by the way.
Oh, that's
Jimmy's
the car
with the
big air horn blaster.
Which is such a great idea. That whole bit was so funny. And I don't know why it didn't end up on Jimmy Kimmel Live. They got a lot of jokes. They got a lot of content going on. But, you know, whatever he gets next, I'm happy to put another air horn on it.
Yeah, we used to. I wanted to do a bit where what's called paparazzi payback, and he would just get in that car with like Ben Affleck, and they just pull out in front of they'd pull in front of the Ivy, and all the paparazzi would gather around him, and then he just toot that train air horn.
It is
and
so
watch
loud,
everyone jump. You cannot.
It is. You can't. It's violently loud. Like, it's painful. Like, we put it. We took the. You did a thing. Like, you stole his truck while he was doing the show. And had somebody bring it here. We took the whole front of that thing apart. We installed an air horn with a compressor tank and a compressor. And it was so loud that you'd have to stand inside this building to hit the air horn because it was just painfully loud. And right. And so if somebody was like with a camera, like leaning on the hood of this thing or 10 feet away or even across the street taking pictures.
Anywhere in the vicinity of the front end of this car, and you just, if you were leaning against the front of the car trying to take pictures where they don't let you pull out or anything, and you gave a toot on that horn, you just see everyone jump up into the air.
It would be like a cartoon where the cats stick up on the ceiling. It'd be crazy.
Right. The cat on the ceiling like that. Also, we got... Lynette squeezed the trigger on the Tesla, so we getting the Tesla X.
And what size did you get?
We got the 6-seat configuration with what I like is that kind of corridor down the middle where you sit on one side or you sit on the other side, and that front side, that corridor is where Phil can lay down because Phil's got to get in. And Phil's like got to like stand up in the middle on the seat, and then he wants to make his way into the front seat, and he's on everyone's lap, and we could get him to lie down in the middle.
Yeah,
that
and
would
if
be
he
good.
Stood there, he would just kind of bounce between the two seats, right?
Yeah,
kind of hold him there. And what size battery? What did you guys go?
I just that's a good point. As she probably got talked into something more expensive. I don't see that they had the first off 0 to 60. Fine. I mean, I don't care. It's, you know, it's 5.7 seconds.
Yeah,
or something.
It's not like,
I mean,
you need the ludicrous mode and pay all the money.
No, you don't need that. The range is like 210, 240, and 300 or something, or yeah, something like that. There's no difference between 240 and 210. Chris can look it up, but I mean, once you're over two, you're over two. Once you have the fast charge plug in the garage, she doesn't work anywhere. She doesn't go anywhere. You know, yeah, it's like get up, go to school, drop the kids off, like, and just plug it in that night, like, or plug it in twice a week. Like, it doesn't really matter. I don't, you know, if somebody said, well, what if it had 5,000 miles range? You'd go, well, that's fine, but it's kind of unnecessary because I'll just, yeah, but you'd only have to plug it in once a year.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd go, that's fine, but I can still just plug it in Wednesday night and Friday night or whatever. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's just there.
Right.
So for me, it's like, why not just get the cheapest one? Because I don't need the range. She doesn't need the
range.
Right,
because you're not commuting far, and you're not, you know, like, Lennon doesn't have to go to Irvine twice a week. You know, it's...
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. The other thing...
Plus, she can get Sonny to plug it in every night.
The school, those kids. You want to hear something? I'll tell you about Amazon Automotive first.
Okay.
Yeah, they shop for auto parts, tools, accessories, quickly and easily from the phone, computer, or the tablet. Plus, free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. Massive selection of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, even tires. Top brands like K&N, Bilstein, Chemical Guys, Bosch, and more. Tired of looking up the part numbers and reading the catalogs with Amazon? All you need is the year, make, and model. Put it in, log it, look up your car. They have custom Q&A. And product reviews to research and buy the right part. So let's not wait in line over at the auto parts place. This place are getting a little depressing for me now.
Yeah.
Go to Amazon.com. We use them here all the time. /auto deals. Start shopping today. It's just, you go online, you get your stuff, and then stuff just shows up, and you got your stuff.
Tires are on the list now because the BMW, after that dyno pull, we realized there's no traction.
No trash.
Got to get some tires.
Go to Amazon.com/auto deal. I was with Lynette, dropped the kids off this morning, and then she said, I got to go back and drop off their lunches. It's weird. It's so weird. Like, there's no peanut butter and jelly made the night before. The deal is...
Oh, yeah.
The deal is you...
Fresh PB&J is the way to go.
You drop the... No. You're missing this. You drop the kids off in the morning, then you go to Subway and Panera, because Natalia wants Panera and Sonny wants Subway. And then you get each one of those different... Go to two different places, and then you drop
There's
that back
no
at school.
There's no way my parents would have done that.
Are you kidding me?
I got the damp peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which I loved every day.
But here's a weird thing. My argument is
you can't even bring a PB&J sandwich into schools anymore.
It's easier just to make the sandwich the night before and just throw it with the kids. You got to drop them off, go back, go to two different places, and then go back again. All right. Anyway. All right. Let's see.
You can just give the kids like a dollar and they buy a lunch, right? Like
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe it's like $12.50 these days. I don't know.
And I think most of it. I think most of it is slop. anyway, but the fact that they got to go to Subway and Panera. That's the part that fascinates me the most. Me and my sister, two different places. That would have been the most ludicrous, insane. First off, dropping off food would have never even been. I was the recipient of the free lunch meal ticket thing. I was the ticket lunch meal guy.
Yeah.
I had a breakfast and a lunch. You just got slop, you know, but for free. And then when I was in high school, I had a go-home pass for lunch because I lived close enough to the high school that I could just split and go home.
Oh, yeah.
So in high school, is having the free lunch, is that embarrassing or cool?
In high school?
Yeah.
There's nothing cool about it.
Yeah, but
I had free lunch in grade school, and in junior high, I had to kind of bum lunch. Like, that was just me sit around and bother people if they're going to finish their lunch with like some semblance of a lunch, like an apple and a box of raisins and maybe like a honey peanut butter sandwich or something my dad tried to make or something. But my dad was really bad at stuff. So that was bad because my parents were like divorced. My mom wouldn't make things. So it was kind of, I think my dad would give me like 50 cents or something, but I would definitely spend the 50 cents at Nutrition on the rolls and the buns and a milk. Yeah. So when we got to lunch, I was tapped out and in bum stuff mode.
Blew your wad early. Yeah.
Yeah. By the time, my dad probably could have just given me a dollar and rectified this problem, but that was a lot of money. So the other part of it was then when I got to high school, I was just had to fend for myself. So I would hard boil like 5 eggs, and just hard boiled eggs, and I just bring hard boiled eggs to school with me, and yeah, like a apple or something, and it was all stuff like I couldn't make. Like, we didn't have, like, there was no make yourself a sandwich, because that would have been like deli meats and sliced cheese and sliced bread, and like, we didn't have, those were considered exotic expensive items. Like, so I mean, I would have happily went to the refrigerator and just got out the sliced ham and the cheese and just made myself a nice sandwich. We didn't really have that. We had like raw peanut butter and stuff and bread you had to slice yourself. And so it was kind of a debacle. So, okay. Yeah. But I don't hold it against my parents other than hating them for that. But it's quite a contrast to what the kids are doing today. I would say a sharp contrast.
Yeah, it's
I'm surprised the kids don't Uber to Panera during lunch break and then grab a sandwich and Uber back to school.
Well, what I was wondering though is, like, since you get the free meals though, is that shameful? Yeah. Like, with all the other kids are eating out of their lunch boxes and
I don't think you have to sit in the free food section of kids. Like, I don't think you have to. Like, you can sit wherever you want.
The thing about the free meal at Colfax Elementary was, nobody knew exactly whether you paid for it or you gave them the ticket. I mean, beside that quick transition at the beginning, although I'm sure people knew I had the tickets, but people gave the tickets, people paid for it, and then you get the same scoop of broken up spaghetti stuff in the ice cream scooper, which is weird, and all the bad green peas that were floating in water like too long, and it was all bad. And the breakfast, same thing. But then I don't remember. Look, if they had free meals at Walter Reed Junior High, you can be sure that we would have been on it. Like, my parents weren't interested in school or paperwork, but that's one thing they would have filled out. And then at high, I don't think they had it at my high school and my junior high. I think they just had it at my elementary school. All right, you take care of Geico. Why don't you get Ron Capson here?
All right,
we'll talk about him.
Geico. So everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you're dropping off the dry cleaning, you're picking up some milk, and now you should save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. I kind of feel like Kimmel needs this after his little fender bender. Hopefully he's got his Geico going on. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
Ron Capps in studio, the season opener 2018 NHRA Winter Nationals. Some go, some blow. That's at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona, and that's this weekend. And tickets and info for all the stops at NHRA.com. Good to see you again, Ron.
Good to see you. Been
How
a
you
long
doing?
Time.
Yeah, I went down there many years ago, and it is man, when they fire up those bad boys, just the it's sting almost as of bad alcohol as the air horn. There. Yeah, it is so,
so loud.
It is so loud, but there's such a concussion to it that you could never escape the concussion, even if you could block out the sound somehow. The most I tell people about, you know, Top Fuel and, you know, funny cars and rails and everything. I tell them all the time. I go, listen, if you got, picture the most exotic Ferrari you could imagine, or the McLaren or hypercar, and you went to a red light, and that guy threw some revs and put on the launch control, dumped the clutch, and you guys took off. When you got to about 75 miles an hour, Ron would have covered 1,000 feet or a quarter mile, and you guys would be traveling like you guys would be going 75 miles an hour, and he's going 330.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And yeah. And again, you could take the most exotic car in the world. I think that's about the difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's the most G-forces, besides a fighter pilot, more than the space shuttle pilots go through, but more G-forces than anything on the planet other than a fighter pilot.
Oh, I have a question about that, though, because I was talking to a friend who also races, and we were trying to go over the difference in G-forces when you launch versus G-forces at the end when you throw the chute and you get on the brakes.
Well, it's crazy. Like, you know, Adam's talking about the launch and being there at the starting line, and it's about 5 G's when you hit the throttle. The RPM at idle is 2,500, 2,600 RPM. When I hit the throttle, I mean, I hit as quick as I can. The throw of the throttle is only about that much. So it's almost like a switch, which, you know, when you get in a pedal fest, it becomes really tricky when you've only got that much to try to maneuver and get 11,000 horsepower going again. You know, it's not a whole lot.
Right.
But given that it's 5 Gs-ish, when the clutch comes in about a second, well, about 2.5 seconds into the run, the G's actually go up higher than they were at the launch. And we go 0 to 100 in less than a second. So 0.8 of a second, 0 to 100. So when the clutch comes in, your brain can't fathom what is going on because the RPM's being brought down. The noise coming out of the headers is actually, you're going so much faster now. The noise is becoming quieter and you're being thrown back another 1.5 Gs. So now you're 6, 6.5 Gs. The engine's getting quieter, and you are going into hyperspace, it feels. It reminds me of the first Battlestar Galactica when we were kids, and they'd hit hyperspace, and all those lines would go like
that. It just kind of gets blurry. And
everywhere, but exactly where you're looking is a complete blur, and it's like you're being shot almost like time travel, and then away you go. And then you hit the chutes, and it's negative 8 or 9 Gs when the chutes hit.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's all in about 3.8 seconds is what we're running.
It's all 1,000 feet now, right?
Yeah.
And
except sportsmen. Some of the lower classes still run a quarter mile.
Oh, right, like lower ETAs.
And I do run nostalgia races, which the March meet's a big one coming up in Bakersfield and the Reunion, and they still run. I run a nostalgia funny car, which is a big deal across the country. They still run a quarter mile.
It must take forever.
It does. But it's nice.
Car. It must feel like a day going in the nostalgia car.
Yeah, you get to enjoy a little more. But but Top Fuel and funny car are the only ones that go 1,000 foot now.
Well, let's talk about the nostalgia stuff, because Matt and I are very into the nostalgia stuff, and we're talking about the Crackle Fest and all the old cars firing up, and we're looking at...
Yeah, I like when they all had names.
Cackle. I said Crackle, sorry.
Sounds like a bunch of old ladies sitting around talking about it. Cackle Fest. Oh, yeah, there it is there. How did you get that so quick?
There's a guy back there.
Chris is very good.
Wow.
And, is that a Gremlin?
That is an old Plymouth. Which body was that? That is a pretty historic race car, actually. L.A. funny car that a lot of people would remember back here in Orange County Lions days. The L.A. Hooker. It's a Plymouth Arrow. That's what it was, an Arrow.
Oh, Plymouth Arrow.
70, wow. I want to say 70 or 71.
That's 78.
No, it had to be later because the Arrow wasn't around for, Arrow was later in the 70s.
You would know that,
this article's wrong then.
Believe it or not, the guys that ran the original car, because the Nostalgia series is so cool. We get the old Blue Maxes put together, the old, you know, Snake and Mongoose type cars. But when I was asked to drive that car, that was a pretty historic car. The guys that ran that car were John Force's uncles, and that's how John Force got his start, were his uncles that ran that car back in the 70s.
Wow.
So the thing that's interesting, so Matt and I were trying to suss this out, which is the Cackle Fest. The Cackle.
Cackle.
I said, you know, because we like the vintage motor racing and all the old cars from the 60s and 70s and stuff, the road cars, or, you know, the road courses and everything. But the whole transporters are getting bigger, and a lot of memorabilia is getting bigger. And then the quarter mile stuff, sure enough, is getting bigger. Why wouldn't it? But it just seems so exotic and so insane to me. And then now they're having events, and they're doing the same thing they do with the vintage
big events.
Automobile.
The March meet coming up in Bakersfield, and I know a lot of your listeners will probably go it every year. I don't miss it. It's one of my. It takes me back in time because I went there with my dad as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got my start, loving the funny cars and the fuel alters. It'll draw a couple hundred thousand people throughout the weekend. It's insane
professional racers like you bringing out the old cars?
No.
Or people buy these cars and take them out there? Like, you know, like we're saying, like Adam's collection of cars and guys that go to the Rolex Historics in Monterey, they buy these cars and then they bring them back to these vintage races and they race them on their own. They're not all professional drivers. Most of them aren't.
Some do. I'm one of the lucky ones that my boss will let me go do,
right?
You know, off on an off weekend and risk, I guess, getting hurt. But the thing is, a few years ago, I was one of the only really professional drivers. Maybe a couple other would go and show up at these things. And I started bragging about how it helped my driving because here we are now. The cars we drive now are so much downforce. There's 6,000 pounds of downforce on the rear of the funny car I drive now. Mm-hmm. Think about it. That's like a huge passenger vehicle, that much downforce on the rear. You drive one of these nostalgic cars, and I went back to one of our races after I did it the first time, and I was grinning ear to ear. Much like you when you get in a car like you drive, one of the nostalgic ones. It takes you back in time, but for me, there's no downforce on the car. There's no side windows, much like it. Everything is like it was in the 70s. Our cars, we don't shift. I mash the pedal, and I hang on for dear life. There's a 3-speed in these, so I shift in them. And also, the car moves around with no downforce, so I'm actually driving it, where I actually point my real race car now, and I point and hang on. So there's a lot going on with the nostalgia scene. And for me, going to those races are just like going back when I hung out with my dad. Like last year, Long Beach Grand Prix, when they had the Can-Am cars there, that was, to me, my dad was a mechanic on one when I was a kid. So that was instantly taking me back, the sights, the smells that I had as a kid. But the nostalgia racing, a lot of those guys do it that used to do it professionally, can't afford it, so they build these nostalgia cars and we go have fun. I show up and drive them. They love racing me because they watch me, and they love the fact that I really brag about the nostalgic scene and about how back in the day I would go to Lyons with my dad or Orange County or Irwindale Raceway with my dad. And now with the nostalgia races, I get to stand in the pit area with some of these guys I looked up to.
You said Long Beach Can-Am car?
Last year's Grand Prix.
I didn't know that.
Grand Prix, they did a handful of Can-Am cars and brought them out.
Oh, it's the best.
Like vintage?
Yeah. Vintage.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
It was the best.
Which ones? Well, now Chris got to find pictures
quite a few.
Of that.
In fact, the Elf cars were one and two, obviously, they just like the old days. But yeah, they had them all out. They had about 15 of them.
I walked around and got to see some of them. I don't remember if I saw the race. I don't think I saw them on the track, but I saw them staging some of the cars. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're great. But prices, values, because we're interested in the values and the price of these cars. And while Matt and I were talking a few weeks ago, and we were talking about it, I said, well, these cars got to be going up. They're getting popular. And they were kind of, you know, it started with old Ferraris and then, you know, Mercedes and Maseratis. And then it kind of spilled into the 70s with BMWs and Porsches and all that. And then it's even into stuff in the 80s and all that. But I said, these vintage old funny cars and beyond, they got to be going up in value. And those things can't be cheap anymore.
No. You know why?
Especially with history.
Do you own any of them?
Recognition?
No. That's the other cool thing is that, excuse me, I don't have to own them. I show up and drive them. But Adam, remember, you know, when we met, I was driving for Don the Snake Perdomo.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Barrett Jackson last year, not this year, but last year. And he sold off three of his funny cars that he redid, the Skull Bandit and one of the, I believe, one of the Army funny cars that they put back exactly the way it used to be, and got quite a bit of money for it.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. It's the whole nostalgia thing is popping up everywhere, and even, like I said, the quarter mile. So what were you going to say, Matt? I'm sorry.
I was asking about, like, who starts to collect these, if you had any of those in your collection or not, but I guess you don't.
I'd love to, and maybe I will. I'd love to, but...
Yeah, you got to start now before they go up
too much.
You know?
But you really have to drive those cars, and what I think you're going to get at is how much it's helped your skills. Because you have to have so much car control in those cars because there are, all the downforce and all the automatic shifting and all the stuff that's made, the difference between, I guess, flying an old airplane and flying a new airplane. You can go a lot faster in a new airplane, but there's more involved with the old airplane.
Well, it's like when you're in your vintage cars. I mean, isn't it, there's something cool about all the mechanical noise the cars make that maybe a car nowadays doesn't. My car makes the Napa car I drive, 11,000 horsepower, 3.8 seconds at 330 miles an hour. It's a monster, and it's put together by 10 of the best mechanics in the world. And I get in this thing, and everything's perfect. When I get in the nostalgic car, it's not. It doesn't idle right. I get to do half-track burnouts. I don't get to do that in the Napa car. My crew chief tells me, this is the burnout on this run. We got this tires, blah, blah, blah. I only want you to do a burnout this far. That nostalgic car, I get in. If I want to, I'll go to half-track until smoke is just billowing out. And then I'll back up at 50 miles an hour in it, like I used to watch Don Perdomo do. And it's just, it's that cool thing of it doesn't feel like it's put together perfect. It feels like a nostalgic car, like it could come apart. There's just something cool about getting in that thing and really having a muscle in it. It's moving around. Then you got to reach up and shift it. It's just
a lot of work and not a lot of time.
I get out the other end, and the guys down at some of these nostalgia races just laugh because they said, I've never seen you get out with that much excitement.
What kind of times do you turn on those cars?
Right now, they're about 5.5 seconds, the good ones. Between 5.5 and 6 seconds, 260-ish miles an hour.
Very fast for that.
Yeah.
And yes.
The difference between 5.5 seconds and 3.5 seconds.
You know what?
It's an eternity to me. Sitting here, it's like we don't know the difference between that, but to you, it's forever, right? It's forever.
It is.
Well,
The hot rods that you drive now, the cars you drive now, are we sort of at the limit of horsepower and speed? Is like when you guys sit around with your team, is the conversation, how do we go faster? How do we make more power? Or is the conversation, is the conversation clutch and tires and, reliability? Like what makes a funny car fast now? What's going to be the future of funny car? It's not going to be the difference between 11,000 and 15,000 horsepower. It's going to be something
else. It's a great question, and we get it all the time. It's sort of peaked out with where we're at, with cylinder heads and superchargers and all that. You got to imagine we're making 11,000 horsepower. So NHRA has done a good job here in the last few years of sort of throwing these, all right, here it is. You cannot run a newer cylinder head. It used to be where a guy in a machine shop would have a Wazoo set of cylinder heads or a Wazoo supercharger to try. And it was millions of dollars in budgets because this guy would have it this week, and it was supercharger of the week. We used to joke. And then you had to have that if somebody would find something. Well, now NHRA's really put a limit on everything. They just put a new rev limiter on funny cars this year because we were going faster almost every race than top fuel dragsters last year.
Oh, really?
We almost 340 miles per hour. And
is that because of the aerodynamics at that speed?
Lot of it's funny. You talk to these aero guys in IndyCar and some of these other series would look at it, and they would look at you like you're dumb for not knowing that a funny car body actually goes through the air better than a sleek dragster with a big wing on it.
Which wouldn't make a difference if the top speed was 175.
Right.
But
right.
Now that it's and over three, it makes a difference.
Right. And you take nitro, it needs to be loaded, and that's why it makes little bombs in the combustion chamber. So it needs to be loaded. So a funny car body might load it more. But the biggest thing was the rev limiter on a dragster was a little bit lower than the funny car. This year, they came out in the offseason, and we're going to find out this weekend in Pomona, they made the rev limiter for funny car. We are now going to be at the same as the top fuel dragster has. So now we're going to find out, especially today and tomorrow on the racetrack and qualifying, where that new rev limiter put us. It's going to be strange.
Well, so you said it's coming out today. That brings up the idea of rules. You're the 2016 funny car world champion. Congratulations. 17, you had a phenomenal season, won a lot of races. not the champion.
Yeah.
Because of the rules, right?
Well, it's just the playoff thing, you know. So NASCAR went to the chase. We have this countdown.
We see this all the time. Rules change all the time, especially in motorsports. There's always different changes in F1 and all the stuff. Yeah. There's like... But you guys got to have some opinion on it. How do the rules come up? Like, don't all the drivers just get together and go, hey, maybe not so good here?
Right. Yeah. No.
No.
Not a chance. I mean, we can have suggestions, and I'm pretty good with the NHRA guy that makes those decisions, but he's not going to listen to anything. He'll listen, but it's not going to do anything. Same with John Forrest. He can go up and tell him what he thinks, but they're doing what's best for everything. You got to imagine they put new rev limiter. You know, on our cars, they did things to slow us down.
I'm sorry, what is the rev limiter set at?
Well, it's funny because they call it a rev limiter and it's not really a rev limiter. What happens is at 2.7 seconds of the run, you cannot put any more ignition timing into our engine.
Uh-huh.
Ignition timing is power.
Right.
So the crew chiefs play and preset your timing on your run for what it's going to do. And when the clutch locks up around that same time, you want to wait and get it to lock up, and then you want to throw every bit of timing back in it to add power.
Right.
Well, those two coincide, locking the clutch up and timing, and what they did was they moved the rev limiter back to about where you're going to lock the clutch up. And we used to be able to go to 3.4 seconds before it would clip off where you are going to have the timing. So it just brought it back closer to the starting line. And so now the crew chiefs, whatever timing, ignition timing is in it, at 2.7 seconds, there's no more that can be added to it.
How many runs do you get out of a typical lower bottom end, or do we need to break it down, bearings, rings, and all, on every single run? Every single run.
If I did the burnout and shut it off for whatever reason, they would still tear it down completely.
And what else are you going to do for 90 minutes?
Are they?
like everybody's going to sit around and just barbecue.
Are they? Do they
make them work a little? Come on.
Do they always tear them down and replace, or do they tear them down and go, the rings are fine?
We will always put new ones in there. Sometimes, once in a while, you'll run the same bearings or rings. Most of the time, the rods get sold to a team that's a lower budget team that you might be able to sell these to after they got a couple runs on the rods and pistons. Mm-hmm. But almost every run, it's a new set going in. New clutch disc, new clutch floaters, pistons, rods. When you come out again, I'll show you the trailer now. Now you walk in, and it's three or four racks of pistons and rods and rings all gapped, ready to go in with a certain mark, qualifier number four, or elimination run number one. And all set up and ready to go. And we've got 8 complete race engines in the trailer ready to run.
Really?
Which you're talking $40,000-$50,000 per engine. And we have them ready to go because we race day now with live being on Fox and Fox FS1. Sometimes live show and you got to push you hard, and sometimes 45 or 50 minutes, you got to be back up there. And so you got to just throw another motor in it.
So in that case, there is, I mean, they'll break down the one you had the run in later. But for right now, we need a crate motor, so to speak, dropped in.
Right.
Yes.
Short block.
How do you create equality between the teams? Is there a cap, a financial cap on what you can spend on certain things?
Not yet.
Throughout the year?
Not yet.
No. But they try to limit it by saying, you know, you can't walk in with your hand-built billet supercharger, whatever. There's some rules on the
parts.
You
have to get approval from NHRA before you run a cylinder head. And they're going to look at it and say, that's all right. I think we'll let you run it. Or, no, that's dumb. Don't try to get that past us. So they've done a good job. That in itself will bring the budgets down, which will help.
Right.
Most of the big sponsored cars are about the same budgets, millions of dollars wise.
Like, battle of the budgets is always a thing in racing, right? Like,
yeah.
Every form of racing has battle of the budgets.
Yep.
Like, everything kind of does. I would imagine in just sports in general, like one fighter versus another fighter, you know, there's probably some degree of that guy's ability to train with the best stuff and get the best doctor or whatever.
Obviously, it's true, like, they're better run wrestled in high school, right? There's better programs, but it's still kind of up to how many bleachers you want to run at night, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But if you're doing, I was just watching one of our docs on, I think it's called 24 hours or whatever. This BMW goes to Nürburgring for like the 24 hours. And it's like,
okay,
you better show up with a bunch of cars, a bunch of techs, and a bunch of stuff. And they're like, I don't know how, yeah. You're not going to get around winning a 24 hour race at Nürburgring unless you just have tons of testing and tons of setup and tons of extra everything. And like that is a, that's a case where I just can't imagine the, you know, Jamaican bobsled team rolling into town.
I love those guys.
And winning that kind of race, you know.
It's the best movie where they still lose.
And So I think it probably varies a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But for motorsports, it's kind of interesting. The shortest race and the longest race are probably two that require some of the most budget, amount of,
yeah,
know?
Yeah. No, it's a good point. Drag racing's one of the last few that you still have guys that line up. There's still, you know, I'm part of a 4-car funny car team that Don Schumacher owns. So I race my teammates a lot, and I know they're going to have the same equipment as me. John Force has got 3 or 4 funny cars. So then you got guys that show up that have a 1-car team that do really well. And sometimes win a lot of races and vie for a championship. So drag racing's one. You know, it's funny because you can go up there with all the best parts, the biggest trailer, the coolest sponsor on the side of that trailer, but it's just a drag race for 1,000 feet. And so it's whoever's better at that time. And some of those lower budget 1-car teams, they got the same parts as we do. They just don't have as many. And
right.
So that given time, what's cool about drag racing, and as a kid, I would cheer for the underdog a lot too. You know, you'd see whoever with a big sponsor and some guy that you know has got his wife with a red rag in her back pocket, and she's running around and she's pouring the bleach in front of the tires for the burnout. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'd love to see that car knock off that big car. And that still happens in the pros, the Top Fuel and Funny Car and Pro Stock in our events. So it's kind of cool. It's not cool, and I'm the guy. Now I'm the guy in a big sponsored car, but it's still neat to watch it.
It's the season opener. It's the Winter Nationals. It's Pomona. It's awesome. I would be there, but I'll be in where am I going to be? In D.C. This D.C. and Atlanta.
Atlanta and D.C. Maybe I'll go then.
How about April? First weekend of April is the 4-wide.
That I will go to. It's an experience. Like, you really need
to. You have
to
see it. You feel it in your chest. Just when the cars go by, you can feel it. It feels like somebody's pushing you over.
If you want to bolt on a little horsepower to your car, how about Amazon Automotive? You can shop auto parts, tools, accessories quickly and easily from your phone, your computer, or your tablet, plus free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. We use it all the time. Matt uses it all the time. My guys at the shop use it all the time. It's faster. It's more efficient. They have a massive selection of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, tires. Matt's got to get some tires for the BMW, man.
Caps need some tires.
Always.
I don't know if they have the same ones there, but you can try.
They got top brands like K&N, Bilstein, Chemical Guys, Bosch, more, whatever you want. And if you're tired of looking up part numbers and catalogs and all that stuff, you just go to Amazon. You give the year, make, and model of your car, you log it in, and then you can find it that way. And what can we tell you? It's just a better, more efficient way to go if you're into the hobby like we are. So go to Amazon.com/... Oh, this is to check out their library of video contents. Amazon.com/how-to-DIY and find out about all the ways and all their videos and all the content they have to figure out how to do it yourself. And you can learn to install air filters, change your oil, jump a dead battery, all the important stuff. Amazon.com/how-to-DIY. All right. So, Ron, quick recap. You can shoot him a tweet at Ron Caps. It's two P's. Ron Caps 28. Shoot him a tweet there. Also, go out to Pomona, bring the kids and the eye protection. And ear protection. Because they fire those babies up, boy.
You could double up on the ear protection.
You could double up on the ear protection. And you can get tickets for all the stops. How many stops for a season, Ron?
24. And we'll be right back here at Pomona end of the year for the finals in October. Actually, November. Second weekend of November.
Yeah.
You can go to NHRA.com for that. You can, let's see, you can go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to find out live shows and stand-up shows and all that kind of stuff where we're going. You can go to Chassis, 2 S's and a Y.com, and see the My Movie, The 24-Hour War, the Paul Newman racing doc, or The Bug with Ewan McGregor. We saw him the other night at the museum, Peterson Museum,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
And lots of good titles over there. Shift and Steer, that's Matt's pod. You can listen to it Podcast One. And support the show. Check out Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at CarCast Show. And just be a mensch, would you please? We do it for free. So, until next time, Zach Kroll for Ron Capps and Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.